Yeah, we're holding on page 62, Samech Beis, starting with the paragraph Ba'al Kol Ponim. We spoke about the Indian, the issue yesterday about you have a lot of money, should be able to build your own place that is matim for your religious needs. We spoke about the idea of the milo, if you have even the money to have your own koilo, right? Instead of all the big chatzos for this and that, to have like these spiritual endeavors. We spoke about a couple of families, famous wealthy individuals who were able themselves to afford that. Nonetheless, when you're building, right? 62 pages in. Okay, do not spend so much money on the project, the building project. Binyan avanim, aliyos, murvachim, murtziorim, mukhoyorim, chadoyim. Yeah, lalavai, people should listen to this. That when you're building a house, do not overspend. Do not go into debt spending. There's actually a thing. It's called house rich. You ever heard this term before? House rich. They have a lot of money, massive house. They build it it's their quote-unquote dream home. And they're literally poverty stricken because they spent so much money on the actual building of the home rather than being able to be more economical. And they, again, this is a big problem. A lot of celebrities or famous sports players will have. They'll build these huge mansions. They'll get a huge paycheck. All this money comes in. They build this huge house. And they build it like with their logo like embedded in the skylight. The pool will be like their face. You know, like they'll start putting things that are very extremely theirs. And then they'll be completely flabbergasted that when they want to sell the house finally for... They say this builder they built the whole house, they put all this, $30, $40 million into the house, and they want to get back, let's say, $35 million, right? They're like, no one wants to buy your face. Lahavdil Fai Fai, this is a guy, Michael Jordan. Anybody heard of him before?
Sure.
Right? Michael Jordan. I'm always given a guy, he could jump very high, right? Yeah. He could jump very high. He's a billionaire, should be a billionaire, should be a billionaire. He's still, Ad Hayoyim, his house has been on sale, I think, for 10 years in Chicago. It's complete on sale, nobody wants to buy it. He's this bull. How come no one wants to buy Michael Jordan's house? Because no one wants to live with Michael Jordan. They want to live with themselves. Everyone wants their own house. What did he do? He built his pool like in his own surah, like the jumping guy, the Nike picture. Okay, it's nice, it's cool, but like I'm not spending $15, $20 million when I'm buying my own house to have Michael Jordan's pool. I want my pool. Anyway, what's the yisoid? The yisoid is that don't spend too much money building what you're building. Because ultimately all this stuff is going to go nowhere. I mean, you can't bring this stuff with you. We're just purely visitors, sojourners in this world. Sojourners, right? It's rather, it's better to spend money on actual binyanim that will bring you to Gan Eden, that you can bring with you. Obviously, what's that? Number one, it could be pashut in terms of giving tzedakah, focusing on the more important aspects of the spiritual aspects of life. But literally, if you want to be a big builder, I know somebody who's a very, 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 very wealthy individual. He's an architect, but he's not just an architect for like stam nice houses or office buildings. He builds shuls. He builds batei knesses, batei midrashos. That's like his major schos. That's a beautiful thing. And B'li Anahar, he's making good bank out of it too. Chas Shamayim. It's an amazing thing. When you can do it perfectly and do it right and do it as a proper kavadish. He built Shayoshev. If anybody has been to the Shayoshev building in New York, you know? Anybody here? Have you been to the Shayoshev building?
What is New York?
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's in what? Inside and outside. It's gorgeous. Mamash gorgeous. It's in Far Rockaway. In Far Rockaway, gorgeous place, Shayoshev, Shlomo Feifeld. Oh, I mean that you can build something beautiful and nice. I mean, we're not opposed to architecture, fine, nice cuts of marble, and we're into beauty. Adarav, the Beis Hamikdash is the most beautiful thing that's ever graced this planet. The Beis Hamikdash was the most beautiful building that's ever graced this planet, and we did it two times. We did it twice, all right? And Rish Hashem, the third time.
Amen.
Amen. Can you answer? We're not opposed to architecture, beautiful things, but it has to be that's going to bring you to Olam Haba.
Let's say
yes. Oh. We have such a maisa like this in Yerushalmi. They're going from place to place. They're going to these different places, and these shuls were beautiful. So one of his friends says to another, how much money did they put out, they expend in order to build such beautiful shuls? How many nefashos were invested here? This is interesting. He's saying that it seems to be a steer of what I'm saying. It's okay if I am allowed to say stiras and I can correct myself. It's better actually to build a more simple,
mediocre
base medrash. He says base hakneses. I want to make a very clear distinction between that. But a small base hakneses. And instead, give it to the chavri akoyel. A small building, give it to the chavri akoyel. That, by the way, that is very true. Meaning to give. That's very true. That's a good question. That's a good question.
It's not a
Beit HaKnesset. So there, it's not a Beit HaKnesset. Although Beit HaKnesset does, is an echo of the Beit HaMikdash. But you're right. But definitely is a Kavod HaShem. However, though, being that it's not from a Navi, and we don't have a directive specifically from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's better. You know, it's funny. The whole way that the Bais Sheni, Bais Sheni really in the initial stages was not so nice. Did you know
it wasn't
that?
Wasn't as nice as the first one they said was missing.
Correct. It wasn't so nice. When did it become the nice one, the one that we see
Herod.
Constantly? It was Herod. Yeah, Herod the Great, or whatever, not so great. But Herod, right? Herod built it up, and the Chacham came to him. They said, he's like, oh, I want to do something for the Jewish people, because like, I've killed most of you guys. Like, how do I like give it back? So like, they said, okay, so build the building nicely. Probably most likely, and this is a true Yisrael for life, which is that if you take money and you give it to people, then there's always money, strings attached with the money. Okay, so it could be the Chacham understood, oh, if you build like, you know, nice communities and you build bathhouses and things that are used for the public, it might come with strings attached. You give it to the big Beis HaMikdash, okay, maybe like, I don't know, I'm just throwing out theories. That my only point is to say, is that for sure, what we talk about the Beis HaMikdash, when we think about how mafar and how beautiful it was, someone who never saw such a, you know, never saw a beautiful building in their life, the Gemara in Sukkah says. Yeah, it's true. It's true, but halavai, if Herod was the person where he could give the money to the communities where people would actually survive, people actually were dying and dying on the street. Right. I don't want to speak out of turn, but the point is that this is a very important nekuda. But I want to make something very clear. The Satmar Rav picked on something very strong when he came to America. When he came to America in the 1930s and 40s, I believe he came in the 1940s. He saw in America, it was a big problem. He says, I see these big temples, these big synagogues, right? These big, bate knesios. And I see these small little schools. He says, instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build huge schools and small shuls. So that's the idea of like a chassidim have something called the shtibel. The shtibel is like a small little school. It happens to be that today, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, there's satmar is so beautiful, they even have two satmars, right? Okay, whatever, not getting into all that. But the satmar Rav was hitting on a very important nekuda, which was that the amount of haitzah that you have on the shul is sometimes, unfortunately, at the expense of the actual real thing, which is the education. That's what happened, unfortunately, with the reform and the conservative. I mean, among the many, many problems that already they have, you know, ideologically, that we're not mesugel to continue and to last and to bring Klal Yisrael towards the future. But more specifically, it's because they spent so much money. You see this by certain communities. The synagogue is just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. You walk in there, there's matched, they call it color matched, I think it's book matched marble. You know what it means, book matched marble?
Yeah, one piece like the other.
Exactly. Like the other. Yeah, you literally, and it's not so simple. They have wood, everything is wood, perfectly oak matched. It's just, the place is gorgeous. There's a certain shul in San Diego that I went to before, Rabbi Wolgalanter, have been there before? In La Jolla. This place, literally the most gorgeous roof you've ever seen.
Very, very wealthy.
And again, Chas V'Shalom, I forgive all of them. Chas V'Shamayim. But there's some communities where it's so beautiful, but where's the Talmud Torah? They don't have a Talmud Torah. There's no Talmud Torah. There's no children. They built the today, and they didn't build the tomorrow. Famously, the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Klal Yisrael the Torah, he said, I'm going to give it to you, but you first have to give me an Arev, a guarantor. The Avos. We have Av Mitzvah Yaakov. This is Chusim that we have. We have the Avos to guarantee that we'll keep the Torah in the future. Hashem says, no, it's not enough. He says, what do you want? He says, the children. I want the children. Because that's in part and parcel of the Hashgaf of Yadus. It's not just about the temporal of the today and of the Avar of you resting on your laurels. It's towards the future. Of like, what are you going to actually do? How are you going to actually make it? This is something which is going to be Chai V'Kayim for the future. Reform and conservative is literally by definition. They put so much energy in the prayer of the temple prayers, but nothing to do with the home and certainly not to do with the education of the children, which is by definition directly linked back to the home again. Because kids come home and are mashpi on the kids. If the kids don't know anything, if they're totally disconnected to education. And to me, again, you walk into some of these places, the shul is a masterpiece. Some of these synagogues or temples have won like architectural awards. There's one specific place in San Francisco that won an actual award for this. Where are the kids? You go to right now, Upper West Side, Manhattan. There's a very famous synagogue. It's the second oldest shul in America. You know what it is? Sherith Israel. Right? Sherith Israel, Spanish and Portuguese. My father actually used to be the assistant rabbi there. You go there? Gorgeous. Mefuar. Wow. This, they have the Chagall glass in the back. Chagall, right? You know what Chagall is. Okay, you'll learn, right? Chagall glass. They have this imported from Italy and that imported from this. But where are the Kinderlach? Where is Torah going on over here? Garnished. You know what the biggest chutzpah is? The rabbi they have there now is not, it used to be a Sephardic rabbi, now it's Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, the son of Aaron Soloveitchik. They took an Ashkenazi as a rabbi. That's the biggest chutzpah. Okay, you see? You see? Anyway, we'll schmooze later. Okay, that's